If you were around to see Star Wars, Saturday Night Fever and Close Encounters of the Third Kind the first time around back in 1977, you'll also remember one of the biggest chart hits of that year. One of the landmark singles of the UK punk era was 2468 Motorway. It's 40 years since British singer-songwriter, bassist, radio presenter and long-time LGBT rights activist Tom Robinson gave us his biggest hit. And to mark the 40th anniversary of 2468 Motorway, he's paying tribute to the original Tom Robinson band by performing his entire debut album, Power in the Darkness, at venues across the country. And there'll be full details on all our websites. Well, my name's Graham Walker, and my special phone guest to tell us all about the UK tour is the man behind 2468 Motorway and other all-time great hits, including Glad to Be Gay and War Baby, Mr. Tom Robinson.
Hello, Graham. How are you?
I'm great, thanks, Tom. So, Tom, come on, tell us all about this tour and what can fans expect?
Well, you know, all down the years, I've kind of tried to avoid the nostalgia tag by releasing new albums and, you know, always playing new material alongside the old material in the set. And it was not last year, the year before, 2015, I put out an album of new material, my first in 15 years, and it did so well. It got like eight out of 10 in Mojo and Uncut, and it was a Six Music album of the day. So I was really pleased with that. And because I'd kind of proved a point there about the new stuff, I felt kind of relaxed enough to be able to go back and revisit the very oldest things and say, well, the hell with it. Who cares if somebody thinks I'm just a nostalgia act? Let's go and play that material. So the 40th anniversary gave us a perfect excuse to go out and revisit that debut album, Power in the Darkness. And it's been a revelation, I have to say, coming back to it after all this time.
Well, I can't believe it's 40 years. I don't know where that's flown.
No. Well, I mean, I guess people younger than us will know where it's gone.
Yeah, I guess.
yeah, it does seem like yesterday, and yet so much has happened in the interim, you know.
Well, I'm going to ask you about that, but first I want to just ask you about 2468 Motorway and Glad to Be Gay. They were on the 7-inch EP included with the US release of the debut album, Power in the Darkness, but these two hugely popular tracks, they were not issued on the original UK release.
You've got to blame the Sex Pistols for that.
I was going to say, why was that? And is it something you regret now?
Well, of course I regret it, but it was to do with the mood of the times and trying to do what would seem like the right thing by your fans. Because we had such a loyal fan base. Really, the early success of TRB was entirely due to the loyalty of the fans who kind of supported us from gig to gig and built up this whole thing for us. So we were keenly aware that people had bought 2468 Motorway when it came out, you know, quarter of a million of them did, and then people bought the Rising Free EP when that came out, and then the Sex Pistols album had just come out, and it had the four singles and the four B-sides and two filler tracks, and everybody in the press was shouting, rip off, lazy, you know, how dare they try to sell us the same songs all over again when we've already bought the singles. So very self-righteously we said, right then, we won't do the same as the Sex Pistols. We'll give people 10 completely new tracks that they haven't bought before on our album. No old singles recycled here. So we put out an album of 10 completely new tracks, and everyone went, oh, where's all the songs we know?
You can't do
you just can't win.
Can't do right for doing wrong, can you?
People ended up buying the import from America, which was a double album and twice the price. Which had the singles on it.
But just to show our times...
Of course I regret it, but at the time we were just trying to do the right thing, which was give people something completely new for their money and not duplicate the singles they'd already bought.
And just our times have changed, because now when a single comes out in every format. I think they're even re-releasing not just in vinyl but in cassette now as well.
I know, isn't it bizarre? You can't even buy a cassette player.
No.
I tried the other day. I wanted to get some stuff off cassettes and I didn't have one in the house. And I tried to buy a brand new one. They don't make them.
Well, there might be a research. I know that there's an indie band out of Sheffield who are just doing well in the charts called Reverend of the Makers. And they've just brought out their brand new album and they've got it on every format, including cassette. And I think that's something to do with Guardians of the Galaxy, with the Walkman being reintroduced back under the big screen.
There was one band in of the release, and I think we're on Wax Cylinder only.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit before my time as well, Tom.
Well, it was certainly before their time. They were just being a bit arty and obtuse about it. I think most people like a high-quality download. That's what I want, anyway.
I want to ask you about that track, 2468 Motorway. I mean, it's it's an iconic track. We all know it. We all sing along to it. But I want to know, what's it actually about? What inspired it? How did you come up with it?
It's really very much what it says on the tin, you know, drive. I had a Luton Transit. It wasn't a 10-ton lorry, but it was a Luton Transit, which we used to drive TRB about in with our PA in the back. Because in those days, venues didn't have PAs in them. People forget that in those days, if you played a pub gig, you had to take your own PA in and out every night.
Yeah.
So we had to have a bloody great truck. And I was the only one with the qualifications to drive it. So, of course, we'd be piling down the M1 as the sun was coming up over the motorway after playing a gig in Hartlepool or something. And the motorway sun was indeed coming up with the morning light.
Wow, the lyric was there for you. It wrote itself.
It did sort of write itself, yeah, as a lyric. I mean, there's a bit of kind of gay innuendo in there, but I thought it'd be fun to sneak in, like the little young Lady Stardust hitching a ride. I mean, as we all know from David Bowie, Lady Stardust was a man.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was fairly cloaked.
There was also talk that it was based upon the gay liberation chant as well, the 2468, gay is twice as good as straight.
That's true. I mean, I wasn't trying to put a secret message with that chorus, but going on the demos, when you heard, like, 1,000 people chanting 2, 4, 6, 8, gay is twice as good as straight, 3, 5, 7, 9, lesbians are mighty fine, then you realise that it's something that a lot of people can easily get their heads around and chant along with.
But our times have changed over 40 years. I mean, back then, it's a lot more liberal now. I mean, just remind people, did you have any problems getting it played?
Oh, absolutely. There was a woman at Radio 1 called Doreen Davis who had a sticker put on the EP saying it was not to be played, and made sure that no records of mine went on the Radio 1 playlist for the next 5 years. So, I suffered for my art, but I had my own back when Radio 2 employed me this year to go and sing Glad to Be Gay live on Radio 2 from Hull City of Culture in the summer. So I think that was an ample revenge, to be honest.
Can you believe how much time's changed? I know it's 40
years.
Yeah,
they don't change permanently. That's what we've seen with Trump and Brexit and all the rest of it, is the pendulum swing. You don't just get... It isn't just like a steady march towards progress. Things can easily reverse in a flash, you know, twinkling of an eye. You can get a reverse swing. So none of the gains that we've made necessarily permanent. And so I think you've got to always be defending your values, whatever those values are. The price of freedom is eternal vigilance, as the old cliche goes.
Well, you've been a great social observer and a campaigner as well. I mean, not just in terms of homophobia, but supporting Rock Against Racism, Amnesty International. I'd just like to ask you, Tom, how powerful is music in changing public opinion? And have your songs, not least of all, 2468 Motorway and Glad to Be Gay, changed society?
My feeling is that music doesn't actually change anything, but what it does do is it provides a tonic for the troops. So I don't think any National Front skinheads ever turned up at a Rock Against Racism gig and suddenly saw the light and went, oh, now I get it, how stupid I was. I don't think that ever happened. What I do think happened was that people who were feeling a bit kind of worn down because they thought they were the only one that actually believed in tolerance and fairness in their community or their family or their school or their workplace or whatever, would go to a gig, they'd be singing along with 1,000 other people to the same songs and the same values, and then they'd go out into the world and they'd argue. They'd argue with people and actually challenge people. I think it was the individuals that brought about the change that came to the concerts rather than the musicians themselves.
But do you think your songs particularly, like 2468 Motorway and Glad to Be Gay, do you think that they've helped to change society?
I think Glad to Be Gay helped kind of highlight an issue, maybe. But again, it's just something that happens. You have 15 minutes of fame and it's sort of briefly all over the place, and then people forget about it. I think to the people it meant something to, then they, you know, that's been part of their lives, and that's a great honour to have been able to soundtrack people's lives. But on the greater scheme of things, you know, it's, I think somebody published the Rainbow Power List, whatever that is.
Are you on it?
With the most, you know, I think the 200 most important LGBT people in the country. And I was number 159. So, yeah, it's nice to be on it, but it does give you a sense of perspective when, if you're tempted to kind of overinflate your own importance in the scheme of things.
Your own sexuality has obviously been a focus of attention. You're in the public light.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Thing is that LGBT has lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans. People generally aren't terribly tolerant about people who move from one letter to the other. So when I went from the G to the B and met the love of my life at a gay switchboard benefit who turned out to be the wrong sex, it caused all kinds of problems. Mainly with the tabloid press, to be honest. I had this Sunday People battering on the door and trying to interview me and take pictures and stuff. Man lives with woman.
I wanted to mention that. I mean, the fact that, you know, that you're married and you've got two kids, I mean, that's great, isn't it? I mean, you've followed your dream, you've followed your passion, and does it really matter? Should we be pigeonholed?
Well, of course we shouldn't be bloody pigeonholed. In an ideal world, you wouldn't have to even use a label like LGBT. You just say, if, you know, somebody kind of came on to you or something you weren't of the same sexuality, you could just say, I don't fancy you. No, thank you. Go away. You shouldn't need to have a label like, oh, no, I'm not queer.
Has it been a curse or a blessing that this has kind of been very dominant in your own career?
No, not really. I mean, I think it was such a curse in my young life. It blighted my life. The fact that there were no role models and that gay men went to prison when I was a teenager. That gave me a whole extra level of misery compared to what an LGBT child has to cope with today. So to have done my little bit, you know, towards making that burden a little lighter is something to be proud of. But as I say, you have to keep fighting, you have to keep vigilant and try to defend the tolerance that you believe in.
I want to just quickly mention as well that you've co-wrote songs with the likes of Peter Gabriel, Elton John, Dan Hartman, and as a solo artist, you had that fantastic hit, and I just absolutely love it, 1983's War Baby. Will you be also playing the big hits, as well as the everything that we're expecting from the debut album?
Well, I've done that, really, for the last 40 years. You know, over the 40 years, I've played the songs that people know from all the eras, and, you know, one of the advantages of only having had half a dozen kind of well-known songs is that you have time in every gig when you can play new ones as well as old ones. But just for this one tour, we want to give something back to the people that remember those early days of 1977-78. And for one tour only, I'm not playing any songs younger than 1978.
Wow.
So it's only songs from 77 and 78 in that set. Yeah. Just to kind of pay tribute to that amazing band that we had at the time and the work that they did on the songs. And I've got first-class musicians to come in and play those parts. And even they are struggling to match what Danny Custo and Dolphin Taylor and Mark Ambler did back in the day. I owe them so much.
Is there anybody else from the original Tom Robinson band playing with you on stage on this tour, Tom?
No, they're not. We reformed the band 10 years after it broke up, and it was the single most miserable working year of my entire existence. It was just horrible. It was because there was axes being ground and knives being sharpened, and, you know, I reformed the band with a view to kind of making everything okay again and reconciliation and doing it right second time around. And they joined the Reformation with a view to getting their own back.
All right, so that's not happening again.
I'd rather gnaw my own arm off than set foot on a stage with any of the other musicians now, which is not to underplay their contribution at the time. They were absolutely brilliant, and I owe a huge amount of my success at the time to them. And if it hadn't been for that time and their musicianship, I would never have had a chance to make the other records that I've done since. Yeah. But at the same time, no, I'm not going to get up to a stage with those individuals.
I have to mention your 14th studio album, Only the Now, which was released in 2015. You got Billy Bragg on there, John Grant, Ian McKellen. What was he like to work with?
He's a delight, because we wrote this song. I wrote it after hearing about a family of Welsh farm boys who grew their own dope and didn't have any money and used to rip pages out of the Bible to roll their spliffs with, because they didn't have enough money to buy skins. So I thought that was just so hilariously blasphemous that I wrote a song called Holy Smoke about it. And when we were producing it, Jerry Diver, the producer, we really need somebody to come and be the voice of God in this song. Who do you know? So he started riffling through my address book, and when he got to Ian McKellen, he went, he'll do. And,
brilliant.
Ian did it with a very good grace.
Brilliant. And also, just to remind people as well, that you're actually on radio, I think is about two or three times a week now, and you're a very, very big supporter of new music, and not least of all BBC Introducing.
BBC Introducing is 10 today, actually, as we speak, 10th anniversary, and I think it's achieved a lot in terms of giving people a way of getting to the airwaves that bypasses the record industry. I think in times gone by, when I started, Radio 1 was pretty much the marketing arm of the British record industry. And unless you had the money or the insider contacts, you would never, ever get onto Radio 1 if you couldn't afford a plugger. And I think it's great that BBC Introducing has offered a helping hand in the way that John Peel did. He was really a one-man BBC Introducing all those years. And people could send him a demo tape, and if he liked it, he'd play it on air.
Brilliant.
So we've done our best to kind of make up that.
Were you involved with BBC Introducing from the start then, Tom?
Yeah, I was. The anniversary of my first show is next month, and the actual thing was dreamed up this month. It's been really good.
Well, my lads in a band, they're about to go into the studio, and they can't wait to get their effort in there and see what it'll do for them. But what information, what advice would you give generally to new artists wanting to make it in the industry?
Okay, the important thing, if you make music, is it's a blessing. It's an incredible means of self-expression. So the making of music itself. Number one, you've got to enjoy the journey, not to be looking at the destination. You've got to be enjoying making the music and writing the songs and playing with other people on the way. So first of all, enjoy yourself. Second of all, if you want to increase your audience size, write lots of songs. I owe my entire career to three songs, basically, because there's a difference between a good song, which you can put on an album or a B-side, and an OMFG song, which makes people's jaws drop and hit the floor. And people go, oh my God, who is this? I've got to have this. And one of those songs will do more for your career than years of gigging or any amount of promotion or all the rest of it, because it'll sell itself. So it was a blessing that I managed to come up with 2468 Motorway. It was a blessing that after I was a one-hit wonder and had disappeared into obscurity, that I then wrote War Baby again. And it's thanks really to those two songs, and possibly Glad to Be Gay as well, that I'm still able to go out and play gigs today, and that people have then listened to my ordinary good songs on the albums and enjoyed those as well. But it's like liftoff, you know, when you're sending a NASA space mission into space. Think of the size of those rockets and the size of the space shuttle on top.
Yeah.
So when they were launching, there's a great big Saturn rocket underneath it, and four huge solid fuel boosters. And even then, it only just staggers off the ground and takes half a minute to get up into the upper atmosphere. But once it's in orbit, you know, just a little blast on the four jets at the back of the space shuttle is enough to send it spinning around the Earth. So artists who are established can get away with releasing good songs on their albums. Elton John, you know, can do no wrong. As soon as he puts a halfway decent song out, it's going to go in the charts. But for a new artist to get through, you've got to have an OMFG song to get you off the ground. And I'd say write more songs. That's my single biggest advice. And the key to quality is quantity. So you've got to kiss a lot of frogs. You've got to write a lot of duff songs to get to the good stuff.
So basically, enjoy yourself, write lots of songs, and we have blast stuff. Listen, it's been an absolute delight talking to you. I'm just going to remind everybody again that you're actually going to be on a UK tour, and it's you're going to be performing your debut album in its entirety, and we're going to get 2468 Motorway and Glad to Be Gay. We've got all the details of all the sites where you're going to be going. I know that I think there's 15 dates.
Especially we've got Wakefield, York, Nottingham and Sheffield, and those are the kind of key gigs across the whole Yorkshire area, and I'm really keen to do those because my mother was from Wetherby.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and my dad was from Lincoln, so playing in that region really means a lot to me, and it'll be great to see people there.
So do you feel that you're in terms of roots, you're a bit of a Yorkshireman?
Well, yeah, we lived in Stokesley in North Yorkshire, just on the edge of Teesside, when I was a teenager. In fact, my mother's buried there.
Really? So fond memories here then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I just want to remind everybody that Tom Robinson and his band, the Tom Robinson Band, are going to be playing 15 dates on a UK tour. They're going to be playing all over the country. There will be full dates and details all on our websites. And this is going to be the debut album, Power in the Darkness, played in its entirety with massive hits, 2468 Motorway and Glad to Be Gay. Tom, thank you ever so much for your time.